Right now, let's travel down the road and talk with a guy with Evan Mathis, offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles, Alabama standout. Evan, welcome back to Tuscaloosa. I hope all is well.
All is well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've got to start out with a little bit of a question. Two in a row, three out of the last four, going for four out of the five. As an alumnus of this great university, you have to have a huge sense of pride right now.
Oh, it's amazing, especially in the locker room around the league, being able to say, yeah, I went to Alabama, I went there. I went to that powerhouse.
Well, help us break it down, because, you know, we feel like that offensive line, that's where Nick Saban is winning the games. He's beating guys in the trenches.
Yeah, Nick Saban puts a physical football team on the field every time. He recruits that way. He recruits tough guys. He breeds tough guys. Power football. I mean, it's just overall, top to bottom, it's quality football, but power football first and foremost.
Looking at that line of scrimmage, do you see a different technique that he's using to get that advantage?
Kind of. The offensive line coach they had the past couple of years is a guy, Jeff Stoutland, who we have him in Philly now, so I've got to see a lot of the techniques that they've been using. The guy is very good. He teaches tough, smash-mouth football, but also is very, very technically sound and savvy. And I think that's what it comes down to. You got smart guys who are very good at their techniques, who are elite athletes, you know, and overall, it's really hard to match up against Alabama.
Nevin, I go back to your high school days. You made the transition, I believe, if I've got this correct, serving off a little bit of memory, you competed at a couple of different positions. Right tackle, no doubt, for a couple of years. Left guard, your senior season. You also tried to compete at the center position. You're a very versatile offensive lineman. Help us understand Barrett Jones from the last 3 years, sort of rotating in and out and now back to the center position, and then no doubt he'll play in the NFL at the guard position. But help us understand that.
Yeah, playing offensive line, a lot of people think you could just be able to move from spot to spot. But it comes down to even playing left guard and right guard can be completely different in certain offenses. You know, Barrett Jones is a very smart guy, and it takes a smart guy to be a versatile offensive lineman, to be able to just move down a spot and succeed at a very high level. And Barrett definitely did that. Being able to go from, you know, being a great tackle to being a great center, that's quite the transition, especially a year apart.
When you're able to play smash-mouth football and you're able to power game, when you look up at the defense, and I know you guys did it here in Tuscaloosa. I mean, you were part of a team that led the SEC in rushing. But I go back and look at the defense, because there's just something about running the football that makes them take note and go, wow. I mean, they're beating us at the line of scrimmage. They're really shoving the ball down our throat and running between the tackles. Do you see that same reaction for the defense?
Absolutely. The best analogy to compare it to everything is the look of the Notre Dame defense in this past national championship game. Alabama did nothing but just push them back, put the pressure on them. It really breaks their wheels. They get tired, they can't stop them, and it just keeps happening. And you put your foot on somebody's throat and you keep applying pressure, and they break.
I don't know if we've ever done this, but I mean, we featured two Homewood High School guys this week. Earlier this week, Cole Kublik was part of our show. Now, he's an Auburn guy, but he's a great college football analyst and really understood that. But, I mean, two Homewood guys here. Evan Mathis played at Homewood High School there in Homewood, Alabama. He's been playing 9 years in the NFL. Evan, if I may ask, I look at your NFL career, and you're in year number 9. It could be going into year number 10, but I look at your credentials that you bring to the table, and I know you don't want to talk about that. But let me just ask you this. What resurged, what re-energized your NFL career?
It was kind of a rocky start in Carolina for the Panthers. I started my second year, and then my third year, we got a new offensive line coach, a new offensive coordinator, and they had no plans for me at all. So it kind of just buried me on the depth chart for a year or two. In my mind, it was, you know, I couldn't figure out what the problem was. I thought it was the coaches wanted bigger guys, so I bulked up. I gained like 25 pounds and got to 320, and you know, that hurt me more than anything. I became real slow, had a bad year of football in 2008, bounced from Carolina. I was in Miami for like 9 weeks, and then Cincinnati signed me, where I finished up the last few weeks there. But after that season, I kind of went back to my roots, what I believed. You know, I believe that I'm a really good player in the high through 90s. I got in really good shape. In 2009, I came out and I had a really good year until I got hurt, had an ankle sprain, and then didn't come back real well. I got another injury the next year in 2010. And when I signed with Philly in 2011, they had they had just signed Howard Mudd as an offensive line coach, who was one of the great offensive line coaches of the game. And he was able to teach me some things that, just really showed me the best way to do almost every technique. And everything that he taught me fit my skill set real well. And if I had to give credit to anybody for the rebirth of my career, it'd probably be him.
Now, I also want to focus on, you no doubt you play football. You earn a living playing in the National Football League. But I've got a feeling once that's done, you're going to continue to focus on this athletic performance. And that's where I want to tie into, because you understand the physical tools of playing the college game, the pro game. And you've been able to do that there with your company. And if I've got it correct, Zone Athletic Performance, and it's there in Arizona. But I want to talk about sort of that, but to tie it into how important that part really is to the game of football, because I think Scott Cochran gets that as well as anybody in the SEC, and I think that's why Alabama's winning those games in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, most of the guys you bring into a college program are superior athletes. They're guys who are very blessed genetically, and it doesn't just end there. If you want to capitalize on that and execute to the best of your ability, you get in the weight room, you eat the right food, you take care of your body, you get the proper amount of rest, and you do all those things, because your weapons and your money makers are your bodies as athletes, and you have to take care of yourself. And you see a lot of times in the NFL, some of these guys come in with their natural talent, and they last for a few years, and they get to the point to where they just get older, and they're not taking care of themselves. It gets a little harder to keep up with that young body, and they quit doing it, and you see a lot of guys with a lot of wasted talent just end up falling off and falling out of the league. But the more you can take care of yourself, the longer you can play.
We're talking with Evan Mathis right now. He's a member of the Philadelphia Eagles and also now a big part of the Crimson Tide family. He's always been that. But, I mean, go back to his family roots. But no doubt he played football here at the University of Alabama. We're talking with him about the NFL. And I want to tie it into another conversation, because now the Philadelphia Eagles expected to go to a little bit different style offense. The hurry up, the high tempo. Help me understand from the offensive lineman standpoint, how will that affect your game?
We're going to need to be, first and foremost, in much better shape than usual, because we are going to be running play after play after play. Most of the time, there probably won't be much huddling. Texas A&M this past year ran a similar style. Of course, you saw it if you watched Oregon, because that's who our coach is now. And in the league, you've seen the Patriots do it every now and then. Just a fast tempo. You don't give the defense much chances or time to change personnel. And like I was talking about earlier, you just apply pressure to people, and that's the whole scope of the program.
Well, now, Evan, you know about the SEC fatigue. You know about the Alabama fatigue. Even though you and I are not sick of Alabama winning, everybody else is. Everybody's sick of the SEC dominating. Right now, there's a big conversation with other conferences, including the Big 12. Cliff Kingsbury there at Texas Tech, going to run a high-tempo offense. He's looking across to the SEC, and he's talking to Nick Saban. And he's saying, you've got to get, quit recruiting those nasty beasts, those beasts of defensive linemen, those offensive line, telling Alabama and the other schools to get smaller guys, not stronger guys. Do you have an argument for that? Because I think you understand, not only from your experience with owning a gym, but also playing on that offensive line. You agree with something like that?
No, I think it's too difficult to really make it that cut and dry and differentiate between smaller guys and bigger guys. There's just so much more that goes into it. You have to take into account athletic ability. You have to take into account how smart someone is. You have to take into account how much actual heart they have. There's a lot that goes into it. Some people, most guys, you don't just recruit based on their size alone or strength alone. You look at them overall as a player, because there's some really, really big guys that can do some things much better than some really small guys can.
Do you buy it that injuries happen more often on these high-tempo offenses?
I don't know. I haven't seen any data that could prove that. just yet.
Well, I mean, do you see the risk playing? I mean, in what will be a high explosive offense?
Who's the risk? The risk may be on the defense, but that's the point. We're trying to steamroll people. I don't see any risk for the offense.
You know, and maybe that's a great point, is because we do see this brand of softer football. I mean, do you see that? And maybe I don't. Maybe I'm looking from the outside from a media perspective, but I see a lot of people trying to advocate that it goes back to the basics. You win the line of scrimmage, you win football games. You beat the guy across from you, you win football games. Seems like a lot of folks are trying to take us away from that and do this finesse-type football. And I'm not talking about a specific team, but it just seems like that's the direction of the society in college football, maybe even the NFL at some point.
I don't think it's a direction of or a movement. You know, I think it's just a different style for some people. Because I think you can win the line of scrimmage. Sometimes you can win the line of scrimmage being a finesse player. You know, I'm pretty small on offensive line standards. I'm 298 pounds. And there's some guys out there that are just massive that, although I might be stronger than them, I'm not going to roll over them and push them straight back. So it's all about angles and leverage and just getting in the right position. And the same is true for what you're saying is these finesse offenses. Some of them are just, they're trying to find the openings. They're trying to be efficient and make things happen. I don't think it's more a style of the game as it is an approach to it and a game plan thing.
Evan, Alabama lost three guys on the offensive line. Barrett Jones, Chance Borback, DJ Fluker. A tackle and a guard and a center. Now they're going to try to replace it. They've got some talent on the offensive line. But as we approach 2013, most people believe that they can repeat. That would be three in a row. Help us understand the important aspect of team chemistry, building that offensive line to play as one unit.
The chemistry is very important, and that all starts from the day these guys step on the campus. It's not like these guys are thrown into the fire just now. They don't have any experience. The new starters are guys that have been groomed. They're guys that have been in the room. They've been watching all the people in front of them. They've seen Fluker, Warmack, and Barrett. They've seen all the guys working. They've seen how it's done. They've seen how it's done at a high level. The coaching staff has prepared them for this. They'll step up, and they'll take advantage of their opportunity. It's the same, you know, the same thing a few years ago when Mark Ingram was on the way out. Like, what are you going to do? Okay, this guy, Trent Richardson, he's going to step up. Trent Richardson's on the way out. Oh, what are you going to do? Then the next thing you know, it's just guy after guy after guy, and that's the way it's going to be on the offensive line, too. They're prepared for this. The recruiting process is very intricate, and it goes, you know, above and beyond just the guys you see on the field.
You think they'll do it?
Hell yeah, they'll do it. I'm with them all the way. I mean, I think I'll bet it in Vegas right now that they'll do it.
Evan Mathis, you are a sit-down comedian. Will you explain to me what that is?
That's mainly my Twitter persona. On the field, I play football. I take care of business. Off the field, and mainly on Twitter, I'm just trying to have fun. Trying to be funny, mess with people, pick on people, and just having fun. I'm a guy who firmly believes there's very few things in life you should take too seriously.
Well,
so I'm just trying to enjoy life and have fun with it.